Welcome to Prophecy Today with your Bible teacher, Dr. Jimmy DeYoung. Our goal at Prophecy Today is to reach the world with the news that Jesus is returning soon and to encourage Christians to live a pure and productive life in light of His imminent return. Jimmy, tell us what we can expect from today's broadcast.
Thank you very much, Jay. In our previous studies here on Prophecy Today, we've seen the prophetic program for the end times as recorded in the Bible, and there are three main events yet in the future. The next event on God's calendar of activities will be the rapture of the church. In the book of Revelation, chapter 4 and verse 1, we see the rapture depicted when John the Revelator says he heard, as it were, a trumpet talking with him, which said, "Come up hither." Parallel passages would be 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and 1 Corinthians chapter 15. The rapture will be followed by a 7-year period of time of terrible trouble and judgments upon the earth, and that's recorded in 16 chapters of detailed information, Revelation chapter 4 through chapter 19. The return of Jesus Christ, or the second coming, would be the second main event. That's Revelation chapter 19, verse 11 and following. Then there will be the 1,000-year millennial kingdom when Jesus Christ will rule and reign from a temple in the city of Jerusalem. After that, the retribution, or as it's referred to in Revelation chapter 20, verse 11, the great white throne judgment. Knowing these three events and understanding how and when they do take place is key to understanding God's plan for the future. Next, we need to be aware that there are three members of the human family. Get your Bible ready. We're going to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 10 and verse 32.
Thank you, Jimmy. And now our Bible teacher, Dr. Jimmy DeYoung.
Go back to 1 Corinthians, chapter 10, if you will, with me. I know 1 Corinthians chapter 10 is not a prophetic passage, but it has a verse that I want to show you there, which helps us to understand an important principle in studying Bible prophecy. Remember, the title of our series this week is Five Keys to Unlocking God's Plan for the Future. It comes from the fact that in Paul's time of being with the people at Corinth, he had an interesting conversation or teaching with them. He said that everything was lawful for him, but everything was not expedient for him. What he meant by that, he could do all these things, but if it caused somebody to stumble and not come to know Jesus Christ or not grow in the Lord, then he would not do it. He said, everything is lawful, but everything not expedient. I will brain my body, I will brain my lifestyle under subjection to try to win somebody to Christ. Great, great thought. It's another study. We'll not take the time to look at it, but look at verse 32, if you will. At the conclusion of his teaching this very carnal church at Corinth, he says this, "And I'll give none offense, neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God." And what he does is he divides humankind into three members: Gentiles, Jews, and Christians. Those are the three members of the human family. We must understand that. If you're going to study Bible prophecy, in fact, if you're going to study the Bible, you need to understand that these are three members of the human family. God has a plan for them. In the past, he had a plan for them. Presently, he has a plan for them. In the future, he has a plan for them. Gentiles, Jews, and Christians. In the first 2,000 years of human history, and that would be Genesis chapters 1 through 12, in the first 2,000 years of human history, there are only Gentiles upon the face of the earth. When God created Adam and Eve, they were Gentiles. There were believing Gentiles and there were lost Gentiles during that first 2,000 years of human history. Remember, do you not, that Abel was a believing Gentile? The Lord honored his gift, his sacrifice. Cain, because of that, killed Abel. Abel was a believing Gentile. Cain was a non-believing Gentile. That did not make him a Christian. He was not a Christian because he was a believing Gentile. If you look at the next brother we have recorded in the Bible for Adam and Eve, it was Seth. Now, I'm sure they had more sons and daughters, but in the last part of chapter 4 of the book of Genesis, Seth was a believing Gentile. The text says that in the days of Seth, men started to call upon the name of the Lord. How shall they call unless they hear? How shall they hear unless one go? Romans chapter 10. And so it is that Seth was a believing Gentile. He was a mighty preacher of the gospel. And indeed, he was giving the way of salvation at that time. He had a great, 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 great grandson. His name was Enoch. Enoch was a believing Gentile. He wasn't a Christian. He was a believing Gentile. One day he was out walking along with the Lord. They got so far away from Enoch's house, the Lord looked up at Enoch and said, "Hey, buddy, listen, we're a lot closer to my house than your house. Why don't we go into my house?" And he took him right into the heavenlies. He never died. Enoch was a believing Gentile. He had a great, 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 great grandson. His name was Noah. Noah was a believing Gentile. He had three sons, and they had three wives, and he had a wife. They were all believing Gentiles. How do I know? Because God spared them in the time of the flood. Everybody else, approximately 1 billion people, were killed when the worldwide flood inundated the entire earth. All of those were killed except 8 people, all believing Gentiles. And so God brought Gentiles into existence. In fact, go back to chapter 10 of the book of Genesis with me. The very first time that the word Gentiles, goyim, is used in the Bible is in chapter 10 and verse 5. "By these were the isles of the Gentiles divided into their lands." These were all Gentile people. Now, I want you to know something. God has a plan for the nations. Let me give you Genesis chapters 1 to 12. Genesis 1 is creation. Genesis 2 is the special effects of creation. Genesis 3 is the fall of man. Genesis 4, the story of Cain and Abel. Genesis chapter 5 is the genealogy. Genesis chapter 6, 7, and 8 is Noah and the flood. Genesis chapter 9 is Noah after the flood. Genesis chapter 10 is a genealogy. Genesis chapter 11 is the Tower of Babel. Genesis chapter 12, the call of Abraham out of Ur of the Chaldees. And that's the first 2,000 years of human history. From Genesis 1 to Genesis 12, only Gentiles upon the face of the earth. After the flood, 4,500 years ago, God was going to bring nations into existence. What took place was God in chapter 9, in verse 1 of Genesis, told Noah and his three sons and their four wives to be fruitful and repeople the entire earth. They were told to do that. Chapter 10, we see the beginning of the record of obedience to that happening. As you read through chapter 10, though, you'll see the son of Ham, Cush, had a son named Nimrod. And Nimrod, in the face of Jehovah God, in the face of Yahweh, he, instead of trying to be fruitful, multiply, and repeople the earth, he went to a place called Babel, which would be on the shores of the Euphrates River, about 58 miles out of downtown Baghdad today. And there, he was going to build one great city. He was going to become a king. The beginning of his kingdom was Babel in the plains of Shinar, modern-day Iraq. Because of that, God came down, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, confused their languages, and that started them to doing what he told them to do in the first place, be fruitful, multiply, and repeople the earth. I want you to notice how he brought nations into existence. If you've ever wondered where nations come from, we'll find out this morning. Here's God's plan for nations. Look at verse 1 of chapter 10. "Now these are the generations of the sons of Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and unto them were sons born after the flood. The sons of Japheth, Gomer, Magog, Tubal, Meshech, Togarma." If you know anything about Bible prophecy, that's Ezekiel chapter 38. Magog, Meshech, Tubal, Gomer, Togarma. These were sons of Japheth, grandsons of Noah. And they grew up, and they started to have children. Then what did they do? Back to verse 5. "By these were the isles of the Gentiles divided into their lands, everyone after his tongue, after their families, in their nations." So they had to have a new language that they would learn. And so these boys, Magog, Meshech, Tubal, Gomer, and Togarma, would get married, teach their sons and daughters how to speak a different language, and they would go to a location and there establish a nation. These how nations came into existence. Now, you can go into any geographical, historical, biblical book at all that you want to, any reference book you'd like to, and you can see where Magog went to live. Magog went to live north of the Caspian and Black Sea, if you know anything about geography. North of the Caspian and Black Sea is where Magog took his family. That's modern-day Russia. Where did Meshach, Tubal, Gomer, and Togarmah go? They went south of the Caspian and Black Sea. That's called modern-day Turkey. Judy and I were over in Turkey just recently to do some television. I picked up an ancient Turkish map, and in biblical times, during the times of Asia Minor, when the churches of Revelation 2 and 3 were there, Turkey was basically divided into four parts: Meshach, Tubal, Gomer, Togarmah. So don't be listening to these turkeys, excuse me for the pun, on television who try to tell you Gomer is Germany, Meshach is Moscow, and Tubal is Tobolsk. It's where they went when the author Moses was writing about it. They went to live south of the Caspian and Black Sea. And so we see how these grandsons of Noah are starting and establishing nations. Look at verse 6. This will probably blow your mind. Notice this. And the sons of Ham, Cush, and Mizraim, and Put, and Canaan. The sons of Ham. Let's see who Cush is. Cush is modern-day Ethiopia, Somalia, and Sudan. Mizraim is modern-day Egypt. Put is modern-day Libya. Look at verse 8. And Cush begot Nimrod. He became a mighty one in the earth. Verse 10, in the beginning of his kingdom, Nimrod's kingdom, was Babel. That's modern-day Iraq. I talked about Cush, Ethiopia, Somalia, Sudan. I talked about Mizraim, Egypt. I talked about Put, Libya. I talked about Nimrod going to Babel, Iraq. There's six Arab countries. You know how long it is before Abraham is going to be born? 292 years. You don't have to argue with me. Just read the 11th chapter and add up the years from right after the flood all the way until Abraham is born. And so before Abraham was even born, the Arab world was in existence. So don't be talking to me about Abraham being the father of the Arab world. And for sure, Ishmael was not. But you're being inundated with all of these so-called great Bible commentators on ABC, NBC, and CBS that are telling us this is a problem over there between brothers. No, it's not. Abraham wasn't even born. He didn't father them all. It's not what the text ever teaches us. You know, I don't know why in the world anybody would think that Ishmael fathered the Arab world. You know who Ishmael's mother was? Hagar. Where was she from? Egypt. Now, I've got a PhD. I don't have an MD. But I think I'm correct, and if there's an MD, if I'm wrong, you can correct me publicly. Stand right up and shout at me. I don't believe it's possible for a son to father his mother. I don't think that's possible. So Ishmael certainly didn't father Egypt. What does the word say? God has a plan for nations. He brings them into existence in his ultimate plan.
Today we've looked at the first member of the human family, Gentiles. And we've learned that it was the Gentiles who became the first nations, a key point in understanding God's plan for the future. Next week, we'll see that God does indeed have a plan for nations. We'll see how God brings into existence the priestly nation, the Jewish nation, and we'll see how the Lord will use the Jews to fulfill Bible prophecy. Now, here's Jay to tell you how you can get your copy of our series entitled Keys for Unlocking God's Plan for the Future.
Thank you, Jimmy. We'll definitely be looking forward to next week's study. By the way, if you're interested in purchasing your copy of this week's study, you can visit our website at prophecytoday.com or call our toll-free number at 8-PROPHECY-8. That's 877-674-3298. You've been listening to Prophecy Today with Dr. Jimmy DeYoung. We trust that you have enjoyed this time in God's prophetic word and that Jimmy's teaching has been beneficial for you. Once again, to get a copy of today's broadcast, visit our website at prophecytoday.com. Remember, Jesus is coming, and it could be today. So let's keep looking up. Until...